Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Oh, you know we need them. The world needs strategies.
Do we ever?
Strategies for living, because I think we're all living, right?
That's right. I think so.
So, are you ready? You ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I'm ready.
All right. Folks, welcome. Welcome into 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC, Lauren Leon McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Lauren, for most of us, the recipe for happiness, well, we want it, right?
Sure.
Yeah. But for most of us, we think that that recipe involves some variation of the formula. When X happens, then, then I'll be happy, right?
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. You know, look at the world. And think about how, let's say, magnanimous X is. How magnanimous a variable that
absolutely.
Is. And the world. I mean, when you really look at it, the world is packed full of X's.
Sure. And over again, I think we tell ourselves, and perhaps even to a greater degree in our more consumerist society, that I'll be happy when.
Yeah.
And it just keeps us chasing, right? And keeps us running in the little hamster wheel.
Yeah, because X, and I said it's a magnanimous variable because it can be anything. It can be anything from, you know, looking out and seeing the sun break through the clouds. It could be, you know, I've had a stomachache and it's better now, right?
Yeah.
It could be a promotion. It could be anything. It's a winning formula.
It's just about allowance, though.
That offers a lot of paths to happiness, and yet our experience says otherwise. Well, we're going to talk about that today. Actually, we are going to look at a Buddhist psychotherapist has written an article called "Caring for the Mind's Mind: Insights from Buddhist Psychology." I really didn't know there was such a thing as Buddhist psychology. In a way, I've always thought of Buddhism not so much as a religion, but as more
it's
of
a
way of life, a psychology.
Sure.
But we're gonna. I liked this article. And so we're gonna dive in and look at some of the things that this article from Psychology Today. It's called "Between Cultures," and it's from Dr. Mariana Pogayan. I think I'm pronouncing the name right. I hope I am. At any rate, that's what we're diving into today here on Strategies for Living.
Sounds good. I'm excited.
Ready or not, here we come. We're going to care for the mind, and we're going to talk about, that formula of happiness and much, much more here on Strategies. Thank you for joining us, folks. We appreciate our sponsors making it possible, the Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Learning RX and Pintail Roofing and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. Back in a moment. What's it take? What's it take to be happy? Talking about that today and more here on Strategies. Stay with us. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center. .org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with LearningRx Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, LearningRx Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call LearningRx Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does LearningRx Shreveport.
And welcome in to 1017 FM, 710 Keel, and Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, and talking about how elusive happiness can be. Most of us say, well, when X happens, then I'll be happy. And the fact is that we live in a world that X variable is magnanimous, because we live in a world full of X's. We could fill in the blank. So why then is happiness so elusive, despite the world being this treasure trove of X's, right?
Well, and I think it actually comes back to the answer itself, which is X, right? And if we think about it, X, okay, I might be going a little deep here, right?
Okay.
But I kind of think back to every single one of our senses within the nervous system crosses over. So just for instance, right, like our eyes, the vision, what we see out of our left eye actually crosses over and is processed on the right side of our brain.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So there's always an X, there's a crossover.
Yep.
And so
that's fascinating,
right,
when you think about it.
And so you're saying, you know, happiness is this variable X. Well, it is. If we think of X as our perception, our sensation and perception, and that cross that we carry within us of the sensations that cross over literally within our nervous systems, within our bodies, everywhere we go. So, you know, if you choose to set your mind and say, I'm going, you know, I am happy, you will be.
Yeah.
You see it everywhere, and that is your variable X.
Dr. Mariana Pogosyan, who wrote this article from Psychology Today that got me thinking about this, you know, says that the reason that happiness is so elusive for us, despite this treasure trove of X's, is in part that it has something to do with our conviction of the conditional nature of happiness. Our formulas have seemingly made us consign our well-being to external variables. And that we know about, you know, we don't control out there.
Right.
External variables.
As soon as you make something contingent on the external, it is out of your control.
Yeah, we don't have anything to say about the external, do we?
No.
Yeah. And because those circumstances change and, you know,
we do get to co-create with them, however.
Yeah.
We don't get to change what they are, but we can change how we view them, how we perceive them, how we take them in.
So that's where she brings what she calls Buddhist psychology into this.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, that got my attention because I've always thought of Buddhism as a way of life.
Well,
and I've always been taught it's not, even though most people think, oh, that's a, and they even say the Buddhist religion. Technically,
no.
I don't think Buddhism is a religion.
Mm.
I think you can be a, and some people are, in fact, Buddhist Christians.
Right.
Because they follow a Buddhist philosophy along with their Christianity,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I don't see why there you can't apply Buddhism in psychological theories.
Well, you've got a point.
Right.
You've got a point. So according to Buddhist psychology,
mm-hmm.
to nurture a well-being that is not as fickle as tying our happiness to outer circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we might be wiser to team up with something that is ultimately internal, our minds, right?
Yes.
So how we're feeling is ultimately about how our minds are responding to
mm-hmm.
what's happening, right?
Right.
Okay. And she quotes a Buddhist psychotherapist, Pilar Jennings, that states that. It doesn't render external circumstances irrelevant, especially when people are dealing with challenges that are intense,
sure,
right?
Sure, no, yeah.
But Jennings explains that lasting happiness rarely springs from perfect conditions that we have to seek the world to uncover and to find and to have. It might be just as close as our mind
mm-hmm.
to cultivate our sense of well-being.
It absolutely is. I mean, it's our mind through which we filter our entire experience of life.
So if we buy into that, there are some tips, if you will, some teachings
mm-hmm.
On how to care for the mind and cultivate our well-being.
You know, I've often wondered, as I've gotten farther into my own study of counseling and psychology, you know, I've also often scratched my head at why don't we spend as much energy and attention in cultivating and caring for our mind as we do for our body,
mm-hmm.
as we do for our eyes, as we do for our brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And our...
It's a great question,
yeah.
Laura. It's a great question. And, you know, and I think that the landscape, and I don't want to get off too far into this,
mm-hmm.
But the landscape, I'm hoping, is changing.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been, the model we have used in healthcare
mm-hmm.
is really sick care, not
yep.
health care. Now, I do think that is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, so again, along comes psychology, a relatively new, you know,
it is.
A new kid to the block.
Yeah.
And it's kind of joined forces with all of the rest. So a lot of psychology, and I'm talking broadly now, I'm not talking specifics, I'm not talking any one therapist, you or anybody else.
Yeah.
I'm talking broadly, and the way that we're taught,
mm-hmm.
you know, to practice
yeah.
the art of psychology or the art of counseling. It is broadly caring. It's broadly sick care.
Yeah, it's based on the medical.
Healthcare.
It's based on the medical model, which is
yeah.
sick care right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we take care of people who are sick. That's
right.
why. That's why. I'll get on my soapbox just a second, and then you'll knock me off.
Okay.
But that's the reason I really love doing this program,
mm-hmm.
because Strategies for Living. You know, we try to do a lot of different things, but we really are about cultivating.
Mm-hmm.
Health care.
Right.
And mm. and being and living healthy, body, mind,
preventative
spirit.
Preventative medicine.
Right. Body, mind, spirit, and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, you know, again, you have to be intentional about that.
Yep.
It's not going to just happen. You have to make a choice and a decision.
That's why I really like that word cultivating, because it implies some digging, some care, some tending.
And that's another thing. And I don't want to, again, I'm trying not to get too far, but we've become
a pill.
Don't make me go through all of the agony and the pain
of a lifestyle change.
Just give me the pill. And, we continue there. I worry about, and again, I think this is not a complaint of the pharmaceutical companies. I think, what has been developed and continues to be developed is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really, really concerned about, like, these weight loss injections.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different brands, so I don't have to,
They are what they are.
Once you get started on them, they do work. They do help you drop the weight. But my understanding is that you have to stay on them.
Yep.
And that if you don't stay on them, then, the weight comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that's a lot of what, fortunately, unfortunately, however you want to choose to look at this, the practice of psychology, the practice of counseling,
the other concern,
has kind of gone on with the, the
instant fix, the instant gratification.
Right.
And kind of, I think what you're going along the lines of there is we've lost the art of true healing.
Right.
Which
I think we're coming back to. I think all of medicine is headed back there. Like anything else, it's going to take a minute. It's going to take a while.
Yeah, we've got
to make that shift.
We've gotten a little lost in the weeds and in the dazzles of what pharmaceuticals can do.
Right. So, going back to the tips that
us back to the path,
bringing us back to what we're talking about today, and specifically Buddhist psychology and what it can offer in terms of cultivating a well-being within us. Number one is to notice the inner landscape.
Mm. Just notice.
Yeah. The importance, you cannot overemphasize the importance of self-awareness, the importance of tuning in. So cultivating the habit, and it is a habit of paying much deeper attention to what's happening inside, what's happening internally. And this can be, this is really mindfulness. This is a form of mindfulness. Inner reflection. So, notice, are you living in a way that feels ethical to you? How are you treating others? Is there something that you long for that always seems to be out of your reach? In Buddhist teachings, this noticing is the central part of the roadmap, right? It's the roadmap to end suffering. It can also contribute to increased personal happiness. So through reflecting, we can situate ourselves as a person who, just like everybody else, has needs, has overcome difficulties and wishes to feel safe and loved. This awareness of self concerning others restores a feeling of connection, and in turn it softens the sense of isolation, and it becomes a gateway then to well-being.
Yeah, I mean, we can't change what we aren't aware of, and
right.
So that's the first step, is
tuning in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And understanding, and again, life is at some point you have to accept that, life is going to bring
Life is difficult.
It's difficult, yeah.
Yeah, Buddhism doesn't say that there won't be pain.
No. There's the old saying, the day before enlightenment, you chop wood
and carry water. The day after,
you chop wood and carry water. You may become enlightened, but you're still living in the world.
Right.
We're talking today about insights from Buddhist psychology and what we have to learn about being happy. Talking about it today here on Strategies for Living. More to come. Stay with us. Dealing with stress? pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us. And welcome back. Welcome back into 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. And we're talking about cultivating the habit of paying deeper attention to what's happening internally today. Because most of us tell ourselves, well, when, you know, when X happens, then I'll be happy. Problem is, we make X a lot of out there instead of in here. So, you know, how do we shift that? Well, Buddhist psychology kind of gives us some ideas that we can contemplate. One is to tune into the inside, notice the inner landscape. Another one is hold your experience with kindness. Try holding your experiences, all of the feelings, any feelings that are stirred, with receptive kindness. Often when feelings are outside of conscious awareness, we get in the grip of them. We get gripped by them.
Yeah, we allow them to manage us.
Or we feel stuck. We feel stuck with some feelings. We might try to deny them altogether. But reflection can help our feelings become more tolerable. When we start to notice how they come and how they go. And they do.
They do.
Feelings come and feelings go. And when we notice that, then even the ones that wield the most power, you know, in a way we know, okay, well,
this too shall
this
pass.
This too shall pass. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the power in that first offering of being able to notice the internal landscape, right? Is being able, if you can see it, if you can witness it, then it's not you. It's not who you are.
Yeah.
And so in that same line of thinking, then you can hold that experience.
Yeah. So in a way, holding our experiences, whatever they are, without trying to change them, without trying to control them.
No.
Right?
And it's about recognizing that each experience that I go through is a gift for my growth.
What does a parent do to a child who's distressed? You know, the parent is going to comfort the child.
An emotionally mature parent
is going to take a distressed child and comfort them and sit with them and help them move through the process. And in a way, that's what we're talking about here. Holding the experience with kindness is just like holding a child and saying, okay, we're going to get through this. This is going to be okay. The parent brings compassion and kindness and curiosity to what? To help the child feel like they're going, you know, whatever they're going through is tolerable. It's okay. And we're going to get through this.
Yeah. And I love that illustration, because for so many people, that was not the case. That was not their experience in their upbringing.
Yeah.
You know, they were either left to deal with their emotions alone, or, you know, didn't have parents who knew what to do with them themselves.
Right.
And so
right.
This idea of knowing that a kind and compassionate and emotionally intelligent parent would hold the child gives you an idea of what you might need to do for yourself.
Absolutely.
And for your own inner child.
Because compassion feels good, doesn't it? If there's self-compassion, there's usually a softening. and with a little spaciousness created through the compassion, our feelings, instead of getting stuck in them, our feelings can become portals. They can become portals into insight.
Because what you need to know is on the other side of that pain, on the other side of that fear that you are avoiding, is the lesson, is the true gift.
And that's it. So many times we'll hold so tight to, and what I mean by holding tight is even to the point of not letting ourselves feel certain feelings, right?
And but when you do that, we think we're escaping them.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is, you're just locking them. You're keeping them within you.
Absolutely.
And you know, you're just prolonging the experience.
The agony, if you will.
One of the coolest, you know, facts that I've learned is that emotions are not intended physiologically to last long. Like physiologically, they're meant to last 90 seconds. Okay, if we allow ourselves to truly lean in and feel them and hold them with compassion and kindness and non-judgmental awareness. But what so many of us do is we get this tiniest hint of frustration, of irritability, of sadness, of fear, and we freeze and we lock it in. Wherever it is, it gets stuck. And we resist persists.
So another thing we can do is use self-compassion, especially when it's too much to hold by yourself. If someone's been has been too on their own when holding complicated experiences, they'll often build up defenses against self-reflection, right? And so their protective parts say, don't go near that suffering. Don't open Pandora's box. You'll feel terrible about yourself. And sometimes there's an unconscious fear of confirming that the person is problematic or the person is unlovable. And none of us can hold the fullness of what we go through alone. So self-compassion can lessen the risk of getting flooded by self-attack and by shame. So, you know, we could picture a benevolent other, and either real or imagined, someone who's present with us, who truly cares, and who's holding all of that with us without judgment, so we're never alone, you know?
And can I tell you, you speak truth. I'm chuckling because whether you believe it to be real or imaginary, we all truly have something, some being much greater than who we believe we are holding us.
You and I were taught in a particular religion that we grew up in. We were taught that we have a guardian angel. And you know, not everybody's taught that, and I understand that and respect that. But I think that's a wonderful teaching.
I do too.
You know, I think it's a wonderful teaching to say, you know, your angel can't interfere, you know. And and can't do life for you, but you're never alone. And so I think from that perspective it's a good thing. Another thing you can do is widen your definition. So widen your definition of happiness. So happiness is a multidimensional part of the human experience. And it can be understood as a, you know, a terrain that includes a sense of appreciation, a sense of delight, of peace, maybe even contentment. And when the mind is settled, relatively settled, we're more likely to notice the small things that fill us with gratitude. I mentioned at the beginning of the program, you know, watching the sun break through the clouds, having been sick or hurting, and all of a sudden not hurting,
right,
and feeling the gratitude. I recently I've done a lot of things. I hadn't talked a lot about this. I talked a little bit about using the whole body vibration for my knees, and it improved.
Mm-hmm.
And then you recently talked me into going back to the gym.
Yes.
And screaming and kicking, I did go sign up.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of used isn't there one that you go to with a steam room and a whirlpool? Yeah. So you kind of used a little psychology on me.
Try.
Anyway, I got there eventually.
Yes.
And now I'm trying to go three times a week,
mm-hmm,
or so. And
I'm proud for you. You've
done
it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. And, you know, the weight's not coming as, you know, it's not going to come quick, but it's coming, you
right.
know,
sure.
Half a pound at a time,
well,
you know, ounce here, ounce there.
For me, my concern is your overall health and well-being.
But, I've had this experience since starting that,
mm-hmm,
where there's a real difference in my knees not hurting,
mm-hmm,
you know, mm-hmm, when I lay down at night.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's neat.
That's cool.
And
so,
that's cool, and it's a little thing,
mm-hmm,
but it, you know, it just really makes you appreciate,
mm-hmm,
the miracle that is our body,
right?
You know,
and if we care for it, and if we use it, right? I mean, there are some ideologies that say you need to really use your body if you're. Brain, if your mind is tiring you out before your body, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And so it's about being able to utilize and tire out your body before that mind can
before
get
the
to.
Mind, yeah. So the ability to savor the good, and it doesn't matter how benign that is, can usher in a reliable sense of contentment, even when things aren't perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when there's genuine appreciation present, the mind can also fully enjoy the good experiences when they happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, a delicious meal, maybe.
Yes.
A kind word from a friend, or an email or a card that you get with kindness, towards you. So, the ability to amplify a fuller awareness of all the moments of care, of decency, of attentiveness, that's a game changer.
It's huge.
That's a game changer towards being a happier person.
And it has an incredible domino effect. I mean, if you're just able to take a quick pause in
yep.
the middle of anything
yep.
and look around you and be thankful for one thing, it builds and it grows until you really, truly realize how magnificent life itself is. Is
and in our culture, in where we live in the United States, and you know, we've especially got it. I mean,
we
you know,
really
even
do.
Even the poorest among us,
mm-hmm.
when you compare it to the vast majority of people in the world,
mm-hmm.
they would trade places.
Yeah,
you know, because even the poorest of us are quote unquote rich.
Just walk outside.
Compared to the vast, you know, the vast numbers in the world.
Yeah, you know, your sister and brother were in town, and they were marveling at our trees.
Yeah,
and since then, it's true.
Yeah.
We have amazing trees.
Well, they don't have those where they live. We're talking about happiness today from, kind of redefining it, giving some ideas for all of us directly from Buddhist psychology. We'll continue here in a moment. Old strategies. Stay with us. You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it, too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it, too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road, plus the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP
to 249-8283, and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living here on 1017 FM 710 Keel. So, how do you care for the mind, cultivate well-being, and maybe increase happiness? Well, we've talked about some things so far. Noticing the inner landscape, holding your experiences with your experience with kindness, using self-compassion, especially when it's too much to hold by yourself, and widen your definition of happiness. That's what we've talked about so far here on Strategies. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Another thing, Lauren, is to see our interdependence.
Yeah.
So if you're looking from a Buddhist perspective, part of what helps us feel well is seeing things real, seeing things in reality. So this means getting to the truth. We're interdependent.
We can't live without the other.
Exist in isolation. The way we often maybe think we do, feel we do, behave as if we do,
yeah.
Especially for people in highly individualistic cultures, and ours
is.
There's a risk of feeling fundamentally isolated. And, you know, that has become a bigger and bigger problem.
Huge.
Within our culture in the United States, this feeling of aloneness, this feeling of isolation.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's look at the reality of it. We are, in reality, we're completely embedded relationally.
Mm-hmm.
Our interactions affect our brain chemistry. Our bodies respond to the environment. Our interactions affect our brain chemistry, and our bodies respond. And the more we understand it, the less we suffer. You know, we no longer feel so radically on our own, striving to figure things out. We're, you know, we're getting on board with reality, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, we can see this just on a human level, right? That I need, if you go to the grocery store, I mean, and you pick up a bag of chips or whatever it is that you're getting that day. I mean, if you think about the multitude of hands that went into, like, how did that get there?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself can be a practice of recognizing, whoa, we're in community and we totally depend on each other.
Yeah, you're making a point. I mean, you're making a great point. We don't think about picking up that bag of potato chips.
No.
And think about, we take it back to the farmers that grew the potatoes.
Yeah.
To the people in the manufacturing lays or wherever that did the snack.
Right.
To the truckers
that
brought it.
Yeah.
To the grocery store.
The managers and the
stock clerk that put it up on the shelf. And, you know, the people up front that either are going to check you out or help you check yourself out these days.
Right.
Right? But that's a lot of, it doesn't matter the nuances, it's a lot of people.
No, yeah, and like this weekend we rolled out our trash, right, to the front of the curb, and then it's gone.
It's magically taken care of. Yeah, we don't have to worry about it.
But even beyond that, that's just on a human level. I mean, beyond that, we're interdependent on Earth herself.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about, we ended, you know, talking about the trees when we ran out last segment. But the trees again, right? I mean, they take the carbon dioxide that we breathe out and restore to us the oxygen that we then take in.
Absolutely.
I mean, so you're breathing in the exhale of the trees and the plants around us.
Yeah.
You know, and we can take this back to any kind of bug, insect. You know, around here we get all upset about the mosquitoes.
But it's a huge part
of the ecosystem, right. And we're dependent upon them.
The entire ecosystem. So we got to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, we got to be careful if we, you know, if we're going to start eliminating one or the other.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Find support and inspiration in others, whether online or in person, through podcasts, through books, through radio programs, hopefully like this one. We need others who offer us encouragement, inspiration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having a community that provides support and reassurance can be invaluable. In the same way the body needs food, nourishing food, the mind can only feel well when it's getting care and support and nourishment. And so most of us are consuming way too much information that is overstimulating and even distressing to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably could counterbalance some of that frightening and, you know, even news that enrages us with information that inspires us and that is hopeful. Because our minds are just as responsive to what we're exposed to as our bodies are.
They are responsive.
Be careful.
I mean, the brain doesn't know the difference between an imagined or what it's seeing on television and the real event happening before us.
Absolutely. Care for your gifts. Mm-hmm. According to Buddhist teachings, there's a basic goodness and compassion and beauty baked into the mind. It's a matter of appealing to that skillfully, patiently, and unraveling it in ourselves and in the world around us. Mm-hmm. So remember your incredible inner gifts. What are you talking about, David? Well, I'm talking about intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about insight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the ability to love.
Yeah.
Those are incredible.
Yeah.
Those are absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. Most people have a distorted and negative kind of sense of who they are. But we've all got those abilities.
Yeah.
You know?
We come into the world with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we pile on a bunch of BS, belief systems.
Belief systems,
right?
Yep. Yep.
And that covers up the gold. So that's part of what I like about my job as a psychotherapist is I get to excavate for the gold that I know is there
If we don't truly understand the miracles that we are and the gifts that all of us have, then we do go on a constant search outside of us, right?
Right.
And that's the reason we look for, you know, so much outside of us as opposed to inside of us.
It's right under our noses the whole time.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yep. Finally, hold the fuller truth. The beating heart of well-being comes from holding the full truth of reality and our nature. Selective attention towards the negative can be distorting, and it makes us miss part of our experience and ourselves. For example, in every crisis, amidst the suffering, there will always be those who show up with care and courage and compassion.
Yeah.
And we all have that capacity. It just needs to be nurtured. It needs to be claimed or reclaimed. And it's critically important to acknowledge and not minimize or deny suffering. But we can also work to recognize, maybe even for the first time, just how endowed we are with all the needed ingredients for reliable well-being and, happiness.
Mm.
We got it.
We got
it. It's there.
It's inside.
But we've got to, instead of looking all out there at all those X's, and there's a bunch of them, we shift and begin to look inside.
Remember.
Remember. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that. Strategies for living. And, you know, we talk about making healthy choices. Hopefully, the more we do that, then the more, you know, we make better choices every day. That's why we talk about it on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back.
Hi. This is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
And welcome back. Welcome back into 101.7 FM, 710 KEO. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Like Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. What are you taking away? What are you taking away from our discussion this evening, Lauren?
I really like the idea of the coming together of Buddhism and psychology.
Yeah?
Because it is, in and of itself, one and the same, and they're intertwined.
They really are, more so than probably people, you know, than we think they are.
But I think more specifically for today, I've taken away hints of presence again, which is often a theme, and gratitude in the moment.
Yep.
And I really like the idea of holding space.
Yeah.
With compassion for all experiences.
Because
experience is the only gift, is the greatest gift that we have as humans.
Yeah.
Right? Is the experience of being human.
Right.
And so to recognize that no matter what the experience feels like, it's about recognizing our ability to feel that, to experience that, is miraculous.
Yes, it is.
And a gift in and of itself.
Yes, it is.
And we won't be able to feel it in the same way ever again that we know of or aware of, right?
Right.
I mean, that's why we're in the human suits for now, perhaps.
Kind of like snowflakes. Mm-hmm. Everyone is different.
Yeah, and everyone holds the same sparkle of gold, you know, reflected in different ways.
Yeah.
So it's about excavating that as well.
Yeah, and excavating and really appreciating. And there you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
And folks, thank you. We appreciate you being with us each and every time you join us on Strategies for Living. Hope you can join us often, because we take growth serious here on Strategies for Living. Oh, you said seriously.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate our sponsors helping us take growth seriously.
Yes, we do.
The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Learning RX and Pintail Roofing.
Roof.
And the Balanced Life Wellness Center. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call to make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.